thank you for praying for our daughter, Cherie. She probably two of the most difficult weeks of her life for us busy. Last week, of course, were the comp. She had to be tested over everything she studied in the last 4 or 5 years. You can't study for a test like that. You either know it or you don't. And so, but she tried, and I appreciate she did well, and we're thankful for that. And then, of course, this week is a final exam. She had to write a paper in Portuguese, a paper in Spanish, and one in English, about 15, 20 pages apiece as an exam. So that's pretty tough. And then give an exam for the class she's teaching and take some exams. So this is also a busy week. So if you don't mind, just keep praying until Friday afternoon. And then for better or for worse, it'll all be over. Amen. We're going to believe it's going to be for better. Is that all right?
Yes, amen.
I believe it's going to be better. Thank you so much for your prayers and your concern. Stand with us tonight. We're going to turn to the Word of the Lord. I'm going to be reading in the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 through verse 3. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to just live for the Lord? This is a great life. This is a great life. Amen. I'm so glad I know about this. It's wonderful. Just having the peace. Just serving God, feeling good, even when you feel bad. You can feel bad in your body, feel good in your spirit. That's better than feeling good in your body and feeling bad in your spirit. Because if your spirit's miserable, you're miserable all over. Amen. Praise God. Be like the somebody asked the lady was commenting and said, "My, did you wake up grumpy today?" She said, "No, I let him sleep." She was having a bad day, but she didn't realize it. Amen. But it's good just to feel good. Just have a positive view of life. Know that everything's going to be okay. That God's over in control and everything's on track. Amen. Nothing's going to take him by surprise. Amen. That's a good thing. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse number 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. And then he lists some reasons that you may live. Now hear the reasons for God's commandments. When God tells you to do something, he has a good reason for it. First of all, he said that you may live. That's a good reason. And multiply. That's a good reason. And go in and possess the land. That's a good reason. Which the Lord your Father. So the Lord begins by telling them, keep my commandments, and this is why. Verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now, he tells them what they learned in the wilderness. He said to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. God has a purpose for your trials and your tribulations. Yes, he does. He said God has a purpose for your trials and your tribulations. Amen. And then verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Amen. So God has some wisdom, and I want to preach tonight on that subject, wisdom from the wilderness. Wisdom from the wilderness. God bless you, and you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. When I was in Israel a number of years ago, the tour guide asked, do you know why Israel wandered 40 years in the wilderness? And of course, we did know. He said no. He said that's because there were a bunch of tourists and they were all taking pictures. He was wrong, of course. Amen. But he was talking to tourists that were taking pictures. Amen. So Israel, of course, it should have been a short journey. It was not that far from Egypt back to the Promised Land. It was just a few weeks' journey. But because of their disobedience, and because of their rebellion, and because of their sin, and because of their refusal to do the will of God, the Lord said, you will wander 1 year for every day the spies were in the Promised Land. They were in the Promised Land for 40 days. He said, you will wander for 40 years. And because you said that I was going to bring you out here and your kids were going to die, he said, your children that you're so concerned about, they'll live to inherit. But those of you that doubted and blasphemed, you'll die in the wilderness. So God had his own plan. It was, you see, our action and response to God's command can change what God originally planned for us. God wanted to bless Israel. God wanted to take them right in and set them up in the kingdom. But because of their disobedience and because of their unfaithfulness and their lack of faith, they were not able to possess when God wanted them to possess. There's a lesson there for us tonight, folks. There's a time to move, and there's a time to obey. And when we don't obey and move, when God says move, we can totally alter the plan and the will of God. Yes, we can. Amen. You see, the Lord told Israel, He said, let's go up at once and possess it. We're ready. They said, oh no, we can't do it. There's giants over there. And they started giving this evil report and all the reasons they couldn't do it. And did you know they were ready to stone Moses and the leadership. And they were griping and they were complaining to God. And did you know that the next morning they said, well, I think we can do it. Let's go. And the Lord said, don't go. Yesterday was a day of opportunity. It's too late now. They went anyway and lost. Many were killed. They were beaten. Came back defeated. There's a time that we must move in the will of God. There's a time to obey the Lord. And it's important that we get that. You see, sometimes I think, especially as North Americans, we get the mindset that you know, well, I've got plenty of time and I'll accept the Lord when I'm ready to accept the Lord. Oh, really? I'll do it all on my time. I'll do it when I'm ready because everything centers around me. It's all about me. No, it's not. It's all about Him. Amen. And so when they made up their mind, it was time. God said, it's too late. That was yesterday. So God moves on with another plan. Amen. So Israel has wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, according to the plan of God. So now, after they've wandered 40 years, it's almost time to go into the Promised Land. And this time they were ready. This time, they were ready. When you read the book of Deuteronomy, the word means second law. From a Greek or a Greek word, it means second law. The book of Deuteronomy is kind of a recap. And it's a preparation for Israel because they are getting across the river and go into the land of promise. And so the Lord is recapping everything that's happened and He's getting them ready. So He explains here some reasons to a new generation. Now, these people did not remember a lot about what happened in Egypt. You remember how the old crowd, they always wanted to go back to Egypt. Oh, Egypt. The leeks and the onions and the garlic. Amen. I've always thought that's the funniest thing. If all you can think about is onions and garlic, there must not have been much back there that was all that good. But But they were always talking about stuff like that, the things they had back in Egypt. Amen. And they forgot their toil in Egypt. They forgot that they were slaves in Egypt. Isn't it as easy how we can forget certain things and remember certain other things? You know, that's what I have found about the good old days. There's good things about the good old days, but not all of it was good. Some of the good old days had some bad times, some tough times. So it wasn't all good, although there was some good. And so, but this crowd's not talking about Egypt. They don't know anything about Egypt. Many of them did not see the miraculous deliverance. They did not see the curses that came upon Egypt. They were not there when the Red Sea divided. They did not see all of those things. So God is talking to a brand new generation of people. And he said, get ready, get set. We're getting ready to go. Amen. They had not seen the miracles the past generation saw. Praise God. Sounds like somebody I know. Amen. Anybody still believe in miracles? Amen. Praise God. We've seen enough to keep our faith going, but I'd sure like to see more, wouldn't you? And you know what? I believe he's able. And I believe we're going to. You know why? Because I think times are going to get tougher. Amen. God's never had to supply too much for us because we could pretty well take care of ourselves. But when we get to the time we can't take care of ourselves, then God shows up. Hallelujah. Amen. We've had the insurance and doctors and hospitals, but you know what? When we get to the place those things are not so readily available, I believe we're going to see more healings. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to see God do some things because there's going to be more needs. Now what he said? But my God shall supply all your need. And the less needs we have, the less miracles we'll see. But the more needs we have, the more miracles we're going to see. Praise God. Anybody want to see miracles? Well, get ready to have some needs. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. God can only work where there's a need. And so he's telling Israel, he said, we're getting ready now. Y'all ready to go? Amen. So he commands again. He says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. Amen. So God gave them commands, and he said, I'm going to give you some promises. If you do what I say, you're going to live, you're going to grow, and you're going to possess. Amen. Three promises. And then he goes on to talk about the lessons of the wilderness, the wisdom they gain from the wilderness. You know, our troubles sometimes are really the most fruitful seasons that we go through. If we allow ourselves, we can learn a lot from trouble. We can learn a lot from our trials and our tribulations. That's the purpose, you know. First of all, the Lord said, he said, the first thing I wanted you to learn from the wilderness, he said, I wanted to humble you. Now, it's a good thing if you can humble yourself. The Bible says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, he will exalt you. So it's a good thing to humble yourself. But if you will not humble yourself, then God will humble you. Israel would not humble themselves, so God humbled them. One of the greatest sins, as a matter of fact, perhaps the first sin that we know about, was the sin of selfishness and pride. That was Lucifer, wasn't it? We go into the book of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 18. And then the Lord speaking here to Lucifer, he said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? But thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Five times he said, I. Sounds like his eye trouble. And then he said, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. So, you see, the first thing, he's turned on himself. He's full of pride. He's full of selfishness. Now, let me say tonight, probably the most subtle sin is the sin of selfishness. Selfishness is simply thinking about yourself. Very subtle. People that appear to be very humble can be very selfish. Mm-hmm. Yes, they can. Praise the Lord. People that are easily offended, you know why? Because they're thinking about themselves. When we talk about selfishness, we're not talking about stinginess. I've heard people say, don't be selfish. Well, what they're really talking about is being stingy. Selfishness is a much broader term than that. It's just simply thinking about yourself. Amen. Did you know if you don't think about yourself, it would be impossible to hurt your feelings? Woo, Brother Grissom. That's right. If you're not thinking about you, nobody can hurt your feelings. Because you're not thinking about yourself. But if it's all about you, you get your feelings hurt all the time. Because all you're thinking about is yourself. I said it's a subtle sin. We look at people sometimes and we think, oh, they're such humble people. And they appear to be, but they're easily offended. They're easily hurt because they think of themselves. Amen. The devil's mind was on himself. Praise God. I've known people that, if they didn't get to sing a song, they got their feelings hurt. Why? Because they're thinking about themselves. Or if they sang a song and you didn't say anything about it, they got the feelings hurt because they were thinking about themselves. Where's God in all of that? Brother Holly used to tell us about the movie star? Spent 2 hours talking about himself and then he said, enough about me. What did you think about my new movie? Still about me. Still about me. Still about me. Amen. Selfishness. Amen. Can anybody see that? Amen. Can we see a little bit in ourselves? That maybe there's a little room there for improvement and we got to be careful about selfishness. Because it's a very subtle sin. And it can sneak up on you. And you got to be very careful because selfishness is something that is in every one of us. Amen. Did you know it would be impossible for you to get discouraged if you didn't think about yourself? You know when you get down the dumps? When you start thinking about yourself. That's good, Brother Grissom. Thank you. You're helping me out here. Amen. I'm not hearing a whole lot of amens, but I'm seeing some old me's. Amen. Selfishness. Something we all deal with. Every one of us. Amen. Like ourselves. Say, oh, not me, Brother Grissom. Well, let me ask you a question. When somebody shows you a group picture and you're in that, who's the first person you look for? Be honest. Be honest. Oh, there's so-and-so. Yeah, but who are you looking for? Looking for me. Because we're selfish. And we have to watch this selfishness. It'll get us in trouble. So the Lord said, I sent you into the wilderness and through all of these struggles and trials because I was trying you. I read a story years ago about a young boy and he was going to school on Valentine's Day. And he was all excited. He had stayed up late. And he had He had made a Valentine for everybody in his class. His mother, on the other hand, was not so happy because she knew that he was not very popular. She knew that he was not well-liked. He had some problems, and he was not a favorite student in the bunch. And so, as the clock ticked close time for him to come home, she was looking out the front door. She had fresh cookies baked and cold milk ready to pour into a glass. And sure enough, she saw him coming down the sidewalk. And he was kind of shaking his head a little bit, looking real thoughtful, and her heart picked up and began to race. And she opened the door to greet him, and she heard him coming down the sidewalk, and he was saying, "Not one. No, not one. Not one. No, not one." And her heart broke. She thought he stayed up all night making Valentines for everybody, and he didn't even get one. And then he looked up and he saw his mom, and this big smile lit up his face. And he said, "Mom, not one." He said, "I didn't forget anybody." You see, he wasn't worried about what he was going to get. He just didn't want to leave anybody out. Hey, that's the key. Just get rid of selfishness. Had his mind on being a blessing instead of being blessed. Had his mind on giving instead of receiving. Wasn't that what Jesus did? Did you know that never in the Scriptures do you ever find Jesus discouraged? Not one time. Did you know that nowhere in the Scriptures do you find Jesus putting himself down? Never. Amen. Never. You see, he was the perfect balance because he was not selfish. He didn't think about himself. He thought about others. Amen. He was always thinking about somebody else. And because of that, his life was filled with joy and purpose and fulfillment because he was thinking of what he could do to be a blessing to someone else. Amen. So this is our number one enemy tonight, is selfishness. And one of the fruits of selfishness is pride. And pride's real sneaky. "Well, I'm not a proud person." Watch it. You know, I've known people that were proud of their poverty. Ooh. Really? Yeah. Yeah. They were proud of being poor. That's all they talked about. And lambasted everybody that had something besides them. That's pride. I've known people that were proud of their ignorance. Hello? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. As soon as you would say something a little bit maybe educated, talk about somebody educated, they immediately started putting themselves down. You know why? Because they're wanting sympathy. Because they're talking about me. I know this is a little tough tonight, but I'd like to just tear the cover off some things and let us see what pride, the face of pride. Amen. We can be proud of the silliest things. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We pride can hide from us, and you got to be real careful. You can be proud of your race. Yes, you can. That's racial pride. You can be proud of your face. That's physical pride. Yes, you can. Amen. I know people that their looks get them in trouble. You spend a lot of time, a lot of money. Wasn't it Dolly Parton said it takes, you'd be surprised how much money it takes to look this cheap. All the stuff she had to go through to look like that. Guarantee you, if somebody's 70 years old and still looks about 40, something's wrong. Amen. What was it, brother? I was telling us the other day at the restaurant about the Amish man that went to town for the first time. And he went in and this big fancy hotel, and there was this glass wall. And he walked up to it, and this little old lady kind of crept up there and pushed a button. The door opened. This wall opened up. She stepped in it. She disappeared. He looked up, and there was these little lights going ding, 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 ding. He watched them go up. Huh. And he watched it come back down, ding, 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 ding. The door opens up, and this beautiful young lady steps out. He said, son, go get your mama. Amish or no? But it don't work like that. It doesn't work like that. You can't turn back the clock. Amen. You can stretch skin just so far. Amen. I'll stop there. But anyway, there's a pride of face. We live in a society that worships the physical form. And we've got to be careful not to get caught up in that. I said, we've got to be careful not to get caught up in that. It has caused people to lose out with God. Yes, it has. People got caught up in their own face and their own beauty and their own physical appearance, and it caused them to lose out with God. It's a travesty. It's a travesty, because I promise you, this body will betray you. It only has a certain number of years, and it will betray you. Amen. And so, pride of face, and then there's a pride of place. Some people are very proud of their position. Proud of their position. Amen. You know that's true whenever people treat you a certain way, and you're tempted to say, don't you know who I am? Well, no, not really. Maybe a glorified mud ball like everybody else. Amen. But we get a feeling, we get a little position sometimes, a little place, and we think that makes us very special. We think that makes us better than someone else. Amen. Well, no, that's pride. That's pride. And you've got to be careful with pride, because it'll always get the best of you. And so we have to be very careful. This is such a subtle enemy that we're dealing with here. Wasn't that really what got Eve in the garden? She wanted to be like God. Want to be something that she's not. And she believed a false promise when Satan lied to her. Amen. And I read about Sodom and Gomorrah. This is kind of interesting to me. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49 and 50. He said, behold, this iniquity of thy sister Sodom. And listen to what he mentions here. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her, in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. They were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. Listen to what he says. What was in Sodom? Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. You know the great curse of America today? Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. Every time, that's a recipe for disaster. Amen. So we've got to be careful, folks. That can even affect the church, can it? It did at Laodicea. Remember what they said? They said, we're rich and increased with goods, and we have need of nothing. And that's the church the Lord wrote to and said, behold, I stand at the door on the outside knocking. And if you'll open, I will come in. and sup with you, and you with me. Here's a church that doesn't even have Jesus in their midst, saying we don't need anything. Pride will blind you. Amen. It will take away this abundance of bread, having all of your needs supplied. Did you know it's a lot easier to live for God when you have needs than when you're prosperous? I read something some time ago that was very interesting. There was a man by the name of Billy Sunday. Anybody heard of Billy Sunday? He was a great evangelist at the turn of the century. And man, I'll tell you what, everywhere Billy Sunday went, kind of what was it, 40s, 50s in that area. And everywhere he went, man, he as a matter of fact, if Billy Sunday was coming to preach a meeting in your town and you didn't have a building big enough, they'd have to build a building for him. Because people would come out literally by 10,000 to hear Billy Sunday preach. Until the invention of the television. And as soon as television became readily available in people's homes, Billy Sunday's crowds shrunk. People went to Billy Sunday because it was entertainment. And they were bored. But when they found out they could set a box in their living room and be entertained, they didn't need Billy Sunday. So now, when people come to church, it means you want to be here. Amen. You're here tonight by choice, aren't you? You came because you wanted to. You see, a lot of people went to hear Billy Sunday because they just didn't have anything else to do. Amen. But you came tonight because you wanted to be in the house and in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Hey, God's always had a people. He's always had a people. Amen. And so, this was one of the problems that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah before God destroyed them. Pride was there. Selfishness was there. No recognition of the need for God was there. The Lord said, I brought you to the wilderness to humble you. Jesus Christ is the perfect example of humility. Wasn't anybody ever like Jesus. Amen. The Bible says of Jesus Christ, it said that, he said let me read Isaiah 53 verse 2. It said, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. What I'm saying to you tonight is Jesus was not Hollywood handsome. People were not drawn to Jesus Christ because of his handsome face and his finely cut physique. That wasn't what drew people to Jesus. It was his beautiful spirit. It was his walk with God. It was his humility. It was his genuine love and compassion that poured out of him. Amen. Praise God. And so it wasn't because Jesus was handsome. So there's hope for us. You can be a soul winner whether you're beautiful or handsome or not. It's your spirit that reaches out to people. Amen. It's your good deeds that open the door for witness. That's right. It's your sincere love for people and compassion that they really sense that you're genuine and that you're real and that you're not just out to try to get something from somebody. And it's not just because you're proud that you're a Christian and you're trying to put some stars in your crown, but because you really care about them. Have you ever met a Christian that seemed like all they wanted was another star in their crown? They were so busy trying to work for God, but they really didn't care about people. It was based again in self. I remember a young man one time talking about all the souls that he had won to God. He was always talking about all the souls he'd won and all the days he'd fasted and the nights that he'd stayed up and prayed all night long. I was a very young man. And when he said that, I felt so horrible, Brother Hart. I think, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I don't amount to anything. The last time I heard about that young man, he had become a she. And he was very deceived. But you see, it was all about me. It's about self. You got to be careful, folks. That self, it'll override. If you're not careful, you got to guard against it. So the Lord said, I humbled you. Jesus shows us the beauty of humility. It wasn't because of his looks. It wasn't because he had great success, was it? The Bible said he was despised and rejected of men. Amen. He was despised. It says we esteemed him not. He didn't win any popularity contest as far as people were concerned and elders were concerned. That wasn't what Jesus did. Amen. Praise God. That wasn't him. That wasn't what he was about. That wasn't what he was even trying to do. He really was not looking for those things. The Bible said, let the Spirit that was in Christ, it said, dwell in you. We have the mind of Christ. When you get the Holy Ghost, you have the mind and you have the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And if we can just keep this old flesh under subjection, then we can be right, folks. We can do right. We can be right. But we have to really put this flesh to crucifixion because it really wants to reach out there. Amen. Jesus was the perfect example of humility. The Bible said that even though he was God, he didn't boast about that and realize that he was God and everybody else was almost nothing, just creatures. He didn't make his reputation about, I'm God, you've got to serve me because I'm God. Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. The Bible said he made of himself no reputation. But he humbled himself, even to the death on the cross. Therefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Because of his humility. Humbling. Everybody say, he humbled himself. That's the key. We've got to humble ourselves. Amen. God blesses humbleness. God blesses humility. Somebody made the statement one time, God will never stumble over an intercessor. Somebody that's humble in prayer, God will not stumble over them, but he'll always stop and pick them up. The Bible said God resisteth the proud, but he exalts the humble. Amen. Praise God. Jesus talked about it this way. He said, when you walk in, he said, don't go up to the head table. He said, you just sit down somewhere, just among the people. And he said, if you need to be up there, somebody will come and get you and take you up there. It's a whole lot better for somebody to take you to the high place than to take you out of the high place and put you back in a low place. I know in our society, in our world, it's about getting ahead. But not in the Christian realm. Not in the Christian realm. Humility. God said, I humbled you. And that he did. And then he said, I proved you. To prove or to test. I don't like tests. I never did care much for tests. But we had them, whether I liked it or whether I didn't. We had tests when I was in school, and I gave tests when I was a teacher. Amen. I didn't like them then either. But tests have a purpose. The reason for a test is to see what you have learned. That's right. That's the purpose. It's not to make you feel bad or give you an F. It's to see if we're communicating. Are you learning? If you're learning, I'm teaching. If you're not learning, there's a problem. You know, you're just supposed to be in a class and just sit there and fill a space of time, but you're actually supposed to be learning something in that class. Because when you get through with that class, you're going to go to another class, and you're going to need what you learned in that class to be able to work in this class. So you see, tests have a purpose. And the Lord said to Israel, He said, I proved you, I tested you. I wanted to see what you've learned. I wanted you to know what you've learned and what you have not learned. You know the good thing about God, if you didn't get it, you'll get that test again. And if you didn't get it, you'll get that test again. Somebody said, I don't know why do I keep having to do this? Well, you hadn't passed yet. Why does this keep happening to me? Because you hadn't passed yet. You might want to take a look at what's happening and how you're responding. And when you can respond differently like the Lord wants you to, then you pass the test. And He says, okay, we don't need to test that anymore. You got it. Amen. So let's test this area over here. You're not ever going to be quit. You're not ever going to get to the place where you're not going to be tested. Isn't that what God did to Abraham? Yes, He did. He tried Abraham. Till finally, He asked for his son. And Abraham didn't falter. He was ready to offer Isaac. And God said, now I know. Abraham, you have told me everything I needed to know about you. Amen. So we're going to have tests. He said, I'm going to prove you. I'm going to test you. Amen. Praise God. Did you know it's okay to try the Lord? I'm not saying tempt the Lord. I said try the Lord. There's a difference. Amen. If you want to see how spiritual you are and you decide you're going to step in front of a train and in Jesus' name, stop. You're tempting God and we'll pick you up in a cigar box. That won't work. Amen. Praise God. But if you're in a time of testing like Sister Covey was and there's a lot going on in your life and you don't know how in the world things are going to work out, that's when you try God. You say, Lord, I don't know what to do. But I'm going to try you. I'm going to test you. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to take you at your word. And God will come through. Amen. You can try Him. And He will come through. Now, He may not come through like you think He's going to. But He will come through. When you test the Lord, don't try to figure Him out. You know, that almost got Martha and Mary in trouble, didn't it? It got them real discouraged because they said, Lazarus is sick. And they just knew that Jesus would dash down there, He'd heal him, and everything would be okay. Well, He didn't do that. Lazarus died. They buried him. 4 days later, Jesus shows up. Boy, they're upset with Him. First thing, you know what they said? They said, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. First thing they said. Both of them. Amen. Jesus said, didn't I tell you that all things are possible if you just believe? He said, believe and see the glory of God. Amen. Took them down to the tomb. Rolled away the stone. Lazarus come forth. Out he comes. Praise God. In an impossible situation. He said, you know I'm the healer, but I want you to really know I am the resurrection and I am the life. Amen. Praise God. God, you see, He wants to keep teaching you things. You learn one thing, He's not going to take you there again. That you've already learned that. So now we're going to go a little bit further. And we're going to learn something a little bit more exciting. And something a little bit more difficult. These are lessons that God teaches us. And the wisdom we gain from the wilderness. And then, He says, I want you to know your heart. You know what Jeremiah said about the heart? He said it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And then he asked the question, who can know it? Jesus told his disciples, he said it's not washing your hands before you eat is not a big deal. People make a big deal out of that, don't they? Amen. And the Jews really did. They had this formality of hand washing. And Jesus said, that's not it. He said, what you put in is not going to defile you. It's what comes out of your heart. And then he began to tell them the things that come out of people's heart. You see, every form of sin comes out of a person's heart. A lie, deception, stealing, cheating, drunkenness, drug addiction, adultery, sexual sins. It all comes out of the heart. So it's in here. Oh, Brother Grissom, that could never happen to me. Oh, you're a human being. If you don't guard your heart, the same things are in you that's in everybody else. Jesus said, it's the things that come out of the heart that defile. Amen. And so Jesus said, God told Israel, he said, I want you to know your heart. Amen. And so God sends us through trials so we'll know ourselves. And you know what? If you find yourself tempted in certain areas, and you don't have to tell everybody what your temptations are, but if you're tempted in an area, that tells you there's a weakness there. You're not sinning. If you didn't sin, it's just simply saying, this is an area you need to be careful with. See what I'm saying? Amen. You need to really be careful here, because this is where you have a soft spot. And the Lord's just showing you one of the things that's in your heart. Amen. And so God, he said, I'm going to try you, I'm going to prove you, and I'm going to show you what's in your heart. That's what the wilderness was all about. And now they come to the promised land, and he said, it's time to go over. And then he says, there's three things I want to give you. First of all, he says, I want to give you life. Didn't Jesus say, I am come that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants you to have life. He said, not only do I want you to live, he said, I want you to multiply. I want you to grow. As long as you live, growth is important. Amen. That's right. Now, we should reach a place in our physical stature where enough's enough. But some of us go a little further. Amen. But mentally, and especially spiritually, we're supposed to grow. Amen. From the time we're born until the end of the journey, we're supposed to grow. God wants us to grow. Everything God planted, he wanted to grow. Amen. God wants the church to grow. It's the will of God for a church to grow. I said it's the will of God for the church to grow. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know what? We're growing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I know that some have gone somewhere else, but guess what? They're still going to church. Amen. Now that's not really growth as far as the kingdom's concerned, because that's the same number. But when we have new people like we've had here, new people coming in, that's growth. When you have new people getting the Holy Ghost and you have new people being baptized, that's growth. God wants the church to grow. Amen. You know, if you take fish out of one aquarium and put them in another one, that wasn't growth. That was just changing aquariums. Amen. But if new fish are born, Amen. And new fish are added. That's growth. Amen. So thank God, God wants the church to grow. He said, that's my plan. That's my purpose. I want you to live, and I want you to grow. Amen. Praise God. You know what? I feel like there's some growing going on. I don't feel like it's just the fact that it's numerically. I believe we've grown some spiritually. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe we've learned some things. I believe that we've grown in our spiritual stature. I believe that we've grown in our worship to the Lord. Amen. The very idea that you can listen to an hour sermon means that you've grown. Did you know there's people that can't listen very long? About 15 minutes, they're done. But you are not. Amen. I know some of you kind of in and out, but nonetheless, you're still here. Praise God. Amen. So the Lord said, He said, I want you to grow. And then he said, I want you to possess. There are things that God has promised us. And he says, I want you to possess it. Now, you know, people cannot give you something unless you're willing to possess it. Somebody said, I've heard people say that. Well, if God really wants me to have the Holy Ghost, he'll give it to me. No, 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 no. He can't give it to you unless you possess it. You've got to reach out and possess it. You've got to receive it. As long as you keep the lid on, he can't put it in. He could take the lid off, but he won't, because that's your job. But if you'll remove the lid, God will fill you. I don't really look for this to happen, but it'd be real exciting if it did. But wouldn't you like to get a phone call from Prosperity Bank? I know they got lots of money because they just built a new building. But wouldn't you like to get a call from Prosperity Bank? Said, if you'll bring a 5-gallon bucket down here tomorrow, we're going to fill that buddy up with fresh gold coins. Now, wouldn't that be a nice phone call? You know what I'd do? I would get a 5-gallon bucket, the biggest 5-gallon bucket I could find. I'd make sure it was 5 gallons. And if it was a little more, that's okay too. I'm not going to tell anybody. And I would make sure it was empty. And I wouldn't take it down there full of garbage. No, sir. I'd get that buddy clean. I'd get everything out of it. I don't want anything taking up space here, because I'm getting ready to put something valuable on the inside. You see, that's possession. I would take that big empty 5-gallon bucket down there. Amen. And then I'd say, all right, here it is. Fill her up. Amen. Because I'm ready to possess. Amen. I want to walk out of here. I mean, go ahead, make it like Jesus does. Press down, shaking together, running over. Amen. Let's get all we can in there. You see, because it's something valuable. And when something is valuable to us and we're going to possess it, we make preparations. So, if the Spirit of God is valuable to us, we're going to empty everything out that it can possess. If there's an attitude in me that keeps the Spirit of God out, I don't want it. If there's some desire for something in me that keeps the Spirit of God from possessing that area, I want to get it out. Because that possession of the Spirit of God is the most precious thing that exists. And everything I can get out of me, the more of Him I can put in. Possession. He said, I want you to possess. Go in. Possess it. Amen. So the Holy Ghost is about receiving. It's about making room. When you make room, amen, and you open yourself, then He fills that spot. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for your time and your attention here tonight. Amen. Wisdom from the wilderness. Everybody's been there. If you haven't been, you will be. And if you have been and are not, you will go again. Because God takes us through the wilderness because there are some valuable things we can learn there. We learn humility. He proves us. He tests us. He tries us. We learn to know our own heart and our own spirit, our own self, our own flesh. Amen. Now, just let me meddle one more time here for a close. When God lets you know something about yourself, He does that for a good reason. He does that so that you can change that. Right. Not so that you can make an excuse for it. He doesn't want you to say, well, you know, that's just the way that I am. I've always been like this. Well, how about changing? Isn't that what this is all about? If there's something better, don't you want it? Don't you want it? You know, if you could have a better attitude, then why not? If you could have a better spirit, then why not? If you could improve your vocabulary, then why not?
Why not?
Amen. If you could improve your service to the Lord, why not? If you could improve your giving to the Lord, why not? Amen. If you could improve your prayer, why not? See, there's just, He wants us to be better. That's all. More life. More life. More growth. More possession. That's what He desires for each one of us. Amen. Thank you tonight for your time. I think it would be good if we'd just spend a few moments looking to the Lord right now, opening our hearts to Him. Amen. Jesus, I'm gonna open my heart here tonight. Amen. And if You would just one more time shine that searchlight into the inner sanctum of my soul. Amen, God, because I do want to be a better person. I want to be a better man. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better Christian. Amen. I thank You for the distance that I've come on this journey. And I thank You for the good changes that You've helped me to make in my life. But I'm not there yet, God. There's still some areas that I need to improve. Amen. I'm not like You completely yet. I'm more like You than I was when I started the journey. But there's some things that I still want to change. God, help me not to get complacent. Amen. Help me not to get to the place where I just say, well, I'm better than so-and-so, and try to stop there. Amen. Help me not to get to the place, God, where I think maybe I'm not as bad as somebody else, and I'm willing to accept that. But help me always to hunger for more. Help me to be open, God, for more. Amen. Help me to open my heart and my mind and my spirit and let You change me. Help me, God, to be aware and make conscious effort to change my conduct, to change the way I speak. Help me, God, to be slow to speak, slow to wrath. Amen. Help me to learn to control those things in my life. Amen. Help me just to learn to listen to You before I speak to others. Amen. Help me, God, to just take a little time. And times when I'm angry and I'm upset, help me not to act rashly. Help me, God, to just take some time, get a handle on things, and think things through. Amen. Let You talk to me. Amen. Help me to be like You. That's what I really desire. And that's what I really need. Amen. See me and show me the things that You see. Praise God. And help me, Lord, to change myself. to become more and more like you.
But what
Amen.
I
Praise
need
God.
Is just more of you.
Praise God.
Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still.
Praise God.
Empty and bare, Lord, hear
Brother
my prayer.
Andrew Urshan used to tell his son Nathaniel, he'd say, Nathaniel, he said, you're a good boy. He said, but there's room for improvement. But there's room for improvement. My daughter would meet some boy at Bible college she was interested in, and she'd say, Dad, what do you think about so-and-so? And I'd say, well, he's a good boy. But he's got some growing to do. Amen. And I don't just say that about others. I know that I've still got some growing to do. Bill Gaither wrote a song years ago. He said, I'm not what I want to be. And I know I'm not what I ought to be. He said, but thank God, I'm not what I was. Amen. We're not there yet, but we're on the journey. Don't get discouraged. You're headed the right way. Don't you let the devil trap you somewhere in the past. You say, hey, I mean, I know I'm not as good as I want to be, but oh, I'm a whole lot better than I was. I'm a whole lot better than I was. Thank God I'm better than I was. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. This was not intended to discourage you tonight. It was intended just to put a challenge in our heart so that we can say, God, I want to do better.
Yeah.
Amen. I thank you for this far we've come. But I want to finish the journey. And I want to be better at the end than I was today. More of you. Oh, more of you. I've had all, but what I need is just more of you. Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still. Empty and bare, Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, more of you. Hallelujah. More of you. But what I need is just more of you. Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still. I count it and bear, so Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. One more time, let's start as a prayer. Oh, more of you. More of you. I've had all,
but what I need
is just more of you. Hallelujah. Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still. empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. Amen. That's our testimony, isn't it? You just want more of Jesus. Amen. I know an elderly pastor pastored for many, 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 many years. Quite a large church. He took a young man into his garage, and it was full of stuff. It was full of sports equipment. It was full of gadgets. Just almost anything you can imagine, he had it there. And he said, you see all this stuff? He said, yes, sir. He said, you know what I was looking for? He said, what's that? He said, I was just looking for more of him.
Yeah.
All this stuff, he said, but what I was really looking for was just more of him. Amen. Hey, don't be envious if other people have stuff. You can get that, but you won't. That won't satisfy until you get just more of him. That's what's going to make you happy. Amen. You get enough of him, and you won't care about stuff anymore. I promise you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. God deliver us from the gimmies. Amen. Praise God. The Lord bless you. Thank you so much. You're kind people. God bless you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord.